going on out there, y'all? And thanks again so much for joining us here on Expanded Perspectives with me, Cam Hale. And as always, right over here, Opera steering the ship up and drinking his fizzy water he's not happy with, Kyle Wilson.
How's it going, everybody? Yes, I'm here in Skeleton Studios. I have a new sparkling water.
Don't give out the name because you're just, you weren't happy with
it. No, I still got to give out the name because people need to know what I'm drinking.
Right? No.
So I can only mention them if I like them?
Only if you like them. Yeah, if they're negatives, then that's fine. You're not going to talk about the negatives of it.
Oh, man. I'm not too happy with this one. I've had a couple that I haven't been that happy with, and I've had some other ones that I really, really like.
King of the fizzy water, big fizzy.
I like Topo Chico. I like that a lot. I like the sparkling Liquid Death. What are some of the other ones?
I'm a big fan of Topo Chico.
Yeah, man. It's good, right? I put a little lime in it, just a little lime, a little Perrier, same thing, a little Perrier, a little lime.
He's getting fancy.
Some ice water. I mean, some ice cubes and stuff. It's good. You know what I like? I need to get some of those molds where I can make those spheres, those orb ice cubes. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I got one.
And then have you heard of people putting them in a smoker?
Yes, to smoke. Yes.
To smoke the water, and that's supposed to make your whiskey
smoky.
You know, but I don't want to drink whiskey. I want to drink my sparkling water with it. I can't drink whiskey. Makes me sick. So I don't feel good when I drink it.
So we got to hang out at our small town, not so small town, homecoming parade.
That's right. Yeah.
That's right. Luke was in it. My granddaughter was in it for the baby peach stuff. So she had her own car. Well, that was a hot, miserable day is what that ended up being to sit out there for a couple hours.
Right. The first day of fall and it was 100 degrees.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, I was annoyed because, like you said, it was hot out and Luke was going to be on one of the floats. And so when we dropped him off, I said, Luke, you need to sit on the driver's side of the float. Okay. But I also made sure to tell his teacher because I know that Luke doesn't remember anything. So I went and told her. I said, hey, can you make sure he sits on the driver's side of the float? And she was like, why? And I said, because I'm going to be parked on that side so I can photograph him. And, you know, and see him better. And she's like, oh, okay, that's a good idea. I never thought of that. I'm like, yeah, no kidding. So, hour later, here comes the float. Guess what? Luke's on the other side. So I couldn't see him. I mean, you could take a picture and physically see him in the picture, but it doesn't make a good photo.
That's how it goes as a parent, right? And where somebody on the other side, their kid was on your side. Like, who were supposed to be on that side, Luke could swap sides with him.
And he was throwing candy at other kids. I mean, he had a big good old time. Now, your granddaughter was much easier because she was in the car by herself.
Yeah.
So there was no distraction. I actually got like one good photo because she was looking in the sun and she looked like she was annoyed.
Yeah, she was pretty much annoyed with the whole thing. Yeah, her dad was riding with her and it wasn't helping. She was just dead-eyeing the whole thing. But she was waving a bunch. She waved a whole bunch, but I could tell as it got near the end, she was tired of it.
Well, let's talk about what we did during the weekend. We kind of hung out all weekend and watched the ADCC.
We watched the grappling. Yeah, pretty much all weekend.
Man, I've watched it a few of them, and I have to say this one was the best one I've ever seen. From the production value to everything to the matches. The matches were incredible. It was action-packed pretty much all day. Now, I know they ran behind a little bit on day one, and they kind of strung it out a little bit on day two, but man, there was some fantastic matchups.
They could trim a little of the fat and line it out a little bit better, but yeah, it was an excellent show.
I mean, even the women, like Fionn Davies, she rocked it. I mean, she just destroyed everybody. Gordon Ryan, of course, we knew he was going to do good, but I didn't know he was going to do that good.
Cade Rutolo.
The Rutolo.
The Rutolo brothers.
Yeah. Bodani.
You know who else I really like? Craig Jones. That's the world's greatest second place finisher.
Second place again.
He's got shirts that says it.
Well, he's not wrong.
He's not wrong.
It was fantastic. If you're into grappling, I know a lot of you out there are not. But anyways, that's what we did. My wife recently went with a family trip. I didn't go. With her grandmother, her mom, her aunt, her sister, and one of her cousins. They went to Arkansas, to Eureka Springs, where we've been, where we went to the Mountain UFO Conference, remember?
Mm-hmm.
And they had gone up there, and it was Labor Day weekend. So this was just a couple weeks ago. I've been meaning to tell this story, but I forgot. So my wife's never been. So I was telling her about how pretty it is in that part of Arkansas, you know, in the Ozarks. It's beautiful up there. There's good fishing, the White River, everything like that. If you haven't been to that part of Arkansas, you should go. Anyway, so they drove up there, you know, and they took their time. They stopped and ate lunch and stuff. So they, you know, it took them about 8 hours. they drove up there and they got a house, an Airbnb, a cabin in a picturesque area on one of these mountains and these hillsides. So they drive up there and they said when they get there, there's two motorcycles in the driveway, like two Harleys, and they can see the lights on. And they're like, well, maybe we got the wrong address, you know, because I've never been down this particular road before. They double checked. They're like, no, there's the address is right there on the mailbox. It's right there on the side of the house. There's people in there. Mm-hmm. My wife said they could see them in there. They were making dinner. So they knocked on the
perfect
door.
Perfect timing.
They knocked on the door. The people came and they were like, I don't know what's going on, but I think that we booked this house for this weekend. And they had the paperwork. Her cousin had the paperwork. And the lady was like, no, we booked this house for this weekend. And they're like, oh, great. So my wife calls me, of course, and is like, well, you're never going to believe it. Somebody double booked us. They rented the same property out to two different people. So I don't know what we're going to do. We're going to have to try to find a motel or hotel or something. It's Labor Day weekend, you know, everything's going to be booked. This is a tourist town. I was like, oh, man, that's terrible. She's like, I'll call you back when I got more details. So the cousin, of course, the one that booked the house through Airbnb, was slightly annoyed, to say the least. So she called the people, you know, was like, hey, we're here and there's someone else here. And they're like, I've got the confirmation number. I got the dates on here. And she was doing this like on speakerphone in front of the people that were there cooking their dinner. It was a man and a woman. And the guy on the speakerphone was confirming the dates and all that. Turns out the people that were there on the motorcycles that were cooking dinner, the woman screwed up. They didn't have it booked for that weekend. They had it booked for the following weekend.
Oh, no.
And my wife said that the woman instantly face turned white like a ghost. And she said the husband threw the pan in the sink and it looked like he wanted to kill her.
I feel so bad.
They had driven from Iowa to Arkansas on motorcycles on the wrong weekend. So they were like, my wife and her family were like, no, you know, y'all finish your dinner. Like y'all are, listen, it was a mistake. Y'all are making dinner. We're going to go into town. We're going to go eat at a restaurant. You know, we're going to take our time 2 hours or so and y'all can pack up. And the guy was like, nope, we're leaving now. And just started throwing stuff in bags and suitcases. And they still left to go eat dinner. My wife, because they, you didn't know what was going to happen.
Man.
It's an honest mistake, but man. So the moral of the story is if you have a trip booked, check, recheck, and double check.
That is a nightmare situation.
Your dates, right? And if your spouse or partner books something, just go and check that you guys are going on the right day. Because I can't imagine. I've screwed up in so many ways on so many different things throughout my life. I know the feeling. I've never done that, though.
No. Dude, I'm telling you, because I've made so many mistakes, I double check a lot of things, right?
Boy,
that would be awful because you're off work already. Now you're going to drive all the way back up. You got to turn around and drive right back the next weekend.
I mean, how far of a drive is that on a motorcycle?
Too far.
Right? I'm sure they did it in a couple days, right? You're not going to drive that straight through.
I wouldn't think so.
Anyways, a couple episodes ago, we did a story about some drumming in the woods. In fact, more than one. Well, I've got another person who's written in with this drumming sound in the woods. It says, check this out. Hello, Cam and Kyle. I've been a longtime listener and I love the podcast. I've got a story about hearing drumming in the woods. And to this day, it's one of the oddest occurrences I've ever experienced. In the summer of 2014, my girlfriend at the time and I decided to go geocaching. I'd gone out a few times before with friends and I really enjoyed it. Now, she was new to the whole concept. So I looked up a geocache close by, logged the coordinates into my GPS, and off we went. Now, this geocache took us out into the state game lands in western Pennsylvania. So we parked in a designated parking lot and began our hike into the woods. It was the afternoon of a hot and humid Pennsylvania day, and the location was only supposed to be about a half mile from the car. As we were following the GPS down a clearing with woods about 100 feet to either side of us, we began to hear drumming to our left. Sounded kind of far off, but it still seemed like we should be able to see the origin of the sound. I asked her if she heard it too, which thankfully she did. We both thought it was pretty strange, but after about 10 seconds, it faded out, and we began our search again. After walking about 50 yards further, the drumming returned, louder this time. It sounded like Native American war drums. We stopped and peered into the woods, but we saw absolutely nothing. The only excuse I could think of is that maybe there was a Boy Scout camp nearby, which is a flimsy explanation at best. We listened for a few seconds. Then I grabbed her hand and did a 180 and power walked back through the clearing, the drums fading with every step. We didn't say anything to each other on the hike. We just got back in the car and left. As we drove down the dirt back roads that were lined with trees, I looked for anything that could be the source of the drumming. There wasn't another soul in the area until we reached the main highway. Tyler. Thanks, Tyler. I don't know, man, but we've been hearing more and more of these strange drumming sounds, like luring people into the woods. And you have to wonder, was it just the phantom sounds of an ancient war party that was being played again? Was it somebody just in the woods messing around with a drum? Is it something else sinister, luring people in to abduct them? You know, there's a lot of people that go missing in the woods. Maybe they're lured in by this drumming sound. I don't know, but very peculiar.
It's so odd because there's so many more, like you're talking about, these tales of people reporting, hearing them, and it's like the luring thing. Here's another I read an article, or a story rather, just the other day, talking about that they had started theorizing that the screams that people sometimes report hearing is that whole same thing. It's all in the one, like we've talked about with the Fae. And they go so far as to saying, I read a story that a person had seen a woman run, like we're fishing, like on a river, right? And this river wasn't very deep. And, you know, it was slow moving. It wasn't dangerous in any way. And they were down there and they were only parked like a mile, not even a mile from the road. And they're out there fishing pretty much just off in a little corner. And says this person runs out of the woods and it's this woman. And she's like, will you help me? Will you help me? And says the guy was like, sure. And he throws his stuff down and starts walking across. Said her clothes are like, she looks like she's been living in the forest, right? Like she's tattered clothes. And he starts across the river and he said, it's not even knee deep. And he's like halfway across when it hits him, this feeling of dread, like, wait a minute, why did you just stop? And she's just standing there staring at him. And he goes, come to me and I'll get you to the car. And said that she just drops her arms and just stands and just stares blankly at him. And said it goes on. He's like, come to me.
Yeah, you need help. Come
and
here.
And we're going. We're just right here. And she's just staring. And then she just starts screaming and screaming. And he's like, and that's it. Just screams and screams. And he's like, come to me. And he's like, I'm like 15 feet from her. The water's not knee deep. She's just standing there. She just turns around and sprints back into the brush. He said, just out of sight. So he gets his things and he leaves because he's like, wait a minute.
Yeah, what did I just witness?
Well, he's trying to think, what's going on? She's not physically injured. She does look like she's been living out there. Is she trying to lure me out there? And there's other people out there going to try to jump me? Like, what is happening here? Goes back, reports it. They never find anything out there. You know, the authorities go and look. There's nothing out there. So I'm like, I wonder if it could manifest itself into things like that, where you see, maybe you're out in the woods and you think, oh, my goodness, I hear or I see a child. Is that a missing child, right?
Yes.
And you move into that child and then the Fae realm has you or whatever it is.
Yeah, what was that? Was that a ghost? Was it a woman? Was it just a crazy person?
Yeah, I mean, that's the whole thing is there was never any, it's those stories that have no finish, right? There's no tying off. There's no closure. You have no idea what that was.
It kind of reminds me of the stories from Japan where there's a long history of people like in the ocean seeing a child drowning or hearing a child drowning, and then they rush into the surf to try to save the child, and they themselves go under and never come back. And it's like, I can't remember the name of it, but it's like what you're talking about. It's some kind of entity that's luring you in. There was no child. There is no child.
And it may be one and the same of whatever's in the ocean, maybe the same entities or the same force that's in the woods.
It knows how to mimic something that will attract you.
It does.
That's eerie. It's eerie to think about, right?
And then just like with the native drums and all that, well, what if that was the site of a massacre? What if that was the site of an epic battle that we know nothing about, right?
Yeah.
And then that's what it is. That's the drum sounds that we hear there too. There's so many what ifs. That's what makes it fun.
Luke has a drum. Mm-hmm. And I was going to wait because deer season's going to start in a couple weeks.
Is it a pumpkin drum?
No. I was going to wait till deer season. Then I was going to get like a couple hundred yards from you and I was going to start beating on this drum. And then not say nothing, just to see if you ever said anything.
I wouldn't. No, actually, I probably would text you. Dude, do you hear that? Kyle and I text like a couple of teenage kids whenever we're in the tree stands together in the wee hours of the morning.
I never hear drumming, but it never fails. I hear an awful lot of gunfire.
During bow season.
At like 5 o'clock every night. It's like whoever's doing it gets off work, goes home, and then wraps off $300 worth of ammunition on the daily.
On the reg.
I'm like, what are they shooting at?
And then it's always best whenever it's really getting good deer hunting. And then there's like duck hunters are on one side. And then or it's probably dove hunting too.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, anyway. We're complaining about the outdoors. Look, so Lon gets a bunch of great, of course, stories. Y'all know that. And all of these sightings sent to him. And then he sent me this one. And, of course, because it comes outside of Alamogordo, New Mexico. But this is what makes it so cool. This is a pterodactyl-like creature sighting, folks, recently on September 11th of this year.
Really?
So we've got one that quick. This is what it says. It says, I have to be honest, I wasn't sure who to contact about this, but felt I had to report it to someone. On September 11th of 2022, my brother and I witnessed what I can only begin to describe as a pterodactyl-like bird flying north to south. We saw the creature from approximately 100 feet away. Says it was about 50 feet off the ground. It appeared to be 6 to 8 feet long, grayish in color, with a long, dark beak, approximately 1.5 feet long. Its wings were very long and tapered to a point. The tail was very strange, as it appeared to be maybe 2 or 3 foot long, straight and smooth, a couple inches around. At the end of the tail was some kind of roundish tip about the size of a baseball. I couldn't discern any feathers, and the animal appeared gray and smooth. Thanks for your time. I just needed to report this. E. Well, Lon contacted him, and this is what it says. That E states that he and his brother were driving in his neighborhood just outside of the city of Alamogordo, New Mexico, on the early evening of September 11th, 2022. For those unfamiliar with the location, Alamogordo is in the Tularosa Basin of the Chihuahuan Desert. It is bordered on the east by the Sacramento Mountains and the west by the Holman Air Force Base. It's also near the White Sands Missile Range and National Park. Flying near them was what he described. Goes on and says, at first thought, this is what he described. He first thought it was an oversized pelican. Well, that makes sense, right?
Yeah, but why would a pelican be in the middle of the desert?
That's just it, though. But when you see something bad, you're like, sure. Oh. Said the long beak was very pronounced and long, and the entire body was about 8 foot long with membrane wings long and tapered to a point. So it keeps going back to E talking about it. Smooth, it's gray, the way there's no edges. You know what I mean? It's like perfect. Yeah. So this is what he describes. Said he later describes that he'd been outside grilling the night before at the time and heard several loud screeches coming from a distance and above, but this was the night before, couldn't determine what it was, but says that the area near his home that is somewhat swampy with old growth trees, and he was going to go in there and look around, is what this guy was talking about seeing. So at least he saw the bird or the pterodactyl creature flap its wings. He did see that. Most of the time we just see him soaring, right?
Sure.
He said it was flapping its wings, and it was doing so to maintain height and speed. So it looked like it was natural. There was nothing unnatural about it. But an 8-foot-long pterosaur, you're probably going to be able to pick out of a lineup, I would think.
I would think so.
Right. So, but the screeches could have been an owl. They could have been anything. It might not have been this creature the night before that he heard out grilling, but it is kind of a funny coincidence that that's what it is. But what are we seeing, right? We know they're not there. They're just randomly out in the middle of the desert now.
That's the thing, though. And also, it can't be like a pteranodon or pterodactyl because we know that they had feathers.
Yeah.
But that's not what people are seeing. They're seeing something else, or it's like thought projection. You're seeing what you think a pterodactyl would look like, right?
Yeah.
Is it even real? Or is it imagined? I don't know, but it is
what if it's
wild?
This? What if it's alien and it's masking itself or cloaking itself in such because that's what it believes because it's going off of what it's reading in your mind?
Right. That's what I'm saying.
Right. Because you don't know because like you've talked about, it's we know they have feathers. Now these don't.
Yeah, I don't know.
Extremely odd.
Let's take a break. And when we get back from the break, I'm going to be talking about some more strange sightings. Stick with us, folks. You're listening to Expanded Perspectives. Cam, it's crazy that so many of us enjoy the finer things in life, and so many of us still settle for blah, everyday coffee. With Trade Coffee, you can start every morning with something special. Let me tell you about Trade Coffee, y'all. It's a coffee subscription service unlike anything you've ever tried before, because they partner with top independent roasters to freshly roast and send the best coffees in the country directly to your home on your preferred schedule. Their team of experts do all of the work. They taste test hundreds of different coffees from across the U.S. every month to curate over 450 exceptional coffees that make the cut. Now, you got to get started by taking their quiz, and this quiz allows them to pair you with the perfect coffee. Now, I just recently had a coffee sent to me that's really sweet and smooth. It's called Flatlander Signature Blend from PT's. It's great. I also got Emporium House Blend. And I'm telling you, these coffees are fantastic. You can get it ground up for you. You can get whole beans. You can get whatever you like. They ask you how you like to make your coffee. Do you use French press? Do you use K-Cups? Do you use Chemex? How do you do it? They'll pair you with exactly what you want. And if you don't like it, well, you can send it back and then they'll send you something else. And then you can change your taste as you go down this path. Whether you're a beginner, whether you're just a novice, or you're an expert, Trade does everything for you. Cam, you love it, don't you?
It's one of my favorite things, period, because, well, I love receiving things in the mail to start with. Right.
Who don't?
Exactly. But this is one of those deals. It's also, like you pointed out, you get folks the perfect guarantee. You get the first match guarantee. Like we've said before, they know what they're doing, and they've got it down so well, and they're so confident that they can match you the first time right on the nose. And if they don't, they're going to take your feedback. Well, they, you know, a real coffee expert is right, going to work with you. They'll send you a brand new bag of coffee for free. Now, look. When you first start getting into it, it's overwhelming. This is the place to go to get it all. They have all the gear you need, the great coffees, everyone there to help you get started down your coffee road, right? And right now, Trade's offering new subscribers a total of $30 off your first order plus free shipping. All you got to do is go to drinktrade.com/expanded. Now, that's more than 40 cups of coffee. More than 40, y'all, for free. Just get started by taking their quiz at drinktrade.com/expanded and let Trade find you a coffee you'll love. That's drinktrade.com/expanded for $30 off. Folks, I know how busy you are, right? Kyle and I are busy. All of us these days. You're getting back into the flow. Everything's going normal. But you've also wanting to take care of yourself, just as Kyle and I have wanted to take care of ourselves. And this stuff here will definitely help you take care of yourself. I'm one of those guys that I like a one-stop thing. I don't want to take a whole bunch of vitamins and pills. And I don't like that if I can do it in one time, right? Like,
that's just right.
Get it and get it done. And I like that. I'm talking about Athletic Greens. I'm talking about AG1, y'all. Look, this stuff, I was never big into it. I tried it. I never really noticed anything. This isn't that thing. This is something that I noticed the moment I was just into it, right? Like, boom, I could tell a difference. So much so, like, I've been on it now for a few months.
Me too.
And I will promise you this. I've noted if I miss like 2 days, if I take like 2 or 3 days, if I'm out of town and I didn't take any with me, which I have some to take, If I don't, I can tell it.
I can too.
I can tell it so quick, folks. We're talking 75 high quality vitamins, minerals, whole food source superfoods, probiotics, and adaptogens that's going to help you start your day off right. Now, this special blend of ingredients does a lot of things for you. First of all, immune health, your nervous system, gut health, energy, focus, recovery, and what we're all trying to keep pushed back, a little of that aging, right? I don't want that going down. Push it back as long as I can. I was afraid, like Kyle and I've joked about, that it wasn't going to have a great flavor. I was happily mistaken. It tastes great. I really like the way it tastes. I like how smooth it is. I like everything about it. You can tell that this company has gone to great lengths to make sure you're going to enjoy this thing. Digestion, energy, that's another one of those things. I like it just simply because of gut health. That's
yes, one of the absolutely. Things. I like it because it's lifestyle friendly. Yeah. Whether you eat keto, paleo, vegan, dairy-free, or gluten-free, it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. It contains less than 1 gram of sugar, no GMOs, no nasty chemicals, or artificial anything, and it tastes amazing. It supports better sleep quality and recovery. It helps support mental clarity and alertness. Listen, it's just a little tiny habit you can do in the mornings, and you get a huge benefit. Also, the price, it costs less than $3 a day. And don't forget, you're investing in your health, and it's cheaper than your cold brew habit. It's cheaper than getting all the different supplements yourself. This is a one-stop shop, like Cam said. It's one drink. You mix it up in the morning, the first thing on an empty stomach, you drink it up. It tastes awesome, and it helps me feel awesome. Right now, it's time to reclaim your health and arm your immune system with convenient daily nutrition. It's just one scoop and a cup of water every day, like I said, and that's it. No need for a million different pills and supplements to look out for your health. To make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free 1 year supply of immune supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/expanded. Again, that's athleticgreens.com/expanded to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance. And we're back with Expanded Perspectives. The strange sightings of these flying humanoids or flying beasts in the sky, they're fascinating. And I don't know what people are seeing. But when it comes to things that I don't know what people are seeing, it seems like there's been an uptick in these strange humanoid sightings. What I mean is they go by lots of different names. Sometimes they call them the Rake. Sometimes they call them Pale Crawlers. Sometimes they call them Gollum. I know you're a big Lord of the Rings fan. Mm-hmm. But people are seeing these strange things that they cannot explain. And it's one of those things, much like you were talking about in the last segment before the break. Is this something that we are manifesting? Because we know the origins of like the Rake come from like creepypastas and stuff like that. But there are the creepypastas are based on folklore. They're based on traditions, legends. They're based on Native American stories, whether it's the Wendigo, whether it's skinwalkers. Are all these things the same and just now going by a new name? I don't know. Because of people coming forward, because of the popularity of podcasts, people are hearing others share their stories. So now they feel more comfortable to share their sighting. Or are the sightings actually increasing? I don't know, but I got some strange ones for you today. Check this out, Cam. It says, I lived in a small town in Missouri called Pierce City. I had saved up a good 4 years worth of paychecks, and I sold my television to buy a used Suzuki SV650. This was my dream bike. This was my motorcycle. I'd been wanting it for a while. I went and bought it. And my father helped me get it to our home because I wasn't legally able to ride it for another few weeks. Those weeks were painful because I was so excited to get to roam the streets on my own on my perfect bike. I remember when we got home, I put it in our barn and we locked the barn because we didn't have a garage. I don't remember why I did it, though. It's a very small town, and we pretty much knew everyone. And we were hours away from our nearest neighbor. I fell asleep about 10 p.m. or 11 p.m., and I woke up at 3 a.m. out of the blue because I heard a large banging sound near the barn. I thought, of course, that it probably is one of the horses that might have got spooked or something. But my motorcycle was out there, and this was my baby, so I went out to check it out. I always carry a Buck 110 folding blade, and when I got to the barn, it was still locked. There were no windows, besides one way up at the top, but it's a good 15 feet high, and there wasn't a ladder. So I unlocked the barn, and I walked in, and my new bike was on the floor. I heard a crunching, chewing noise, so instinctively, I reached for my knife. There was very little light, just enough to reflect off the polished metal. I peeked into one of the pens, and I kid you not, there was something squatted over the horse who it had to have killed, as it was a healthy animal, and we took very good care of it. Now, I've seen wolves eat animals before, and this thing, well, it wasn't like that. This thing looked like it was from the Lord of the Rings, like a cave dweller. This thing, but it looked like the Gollum from the movie, but taller. And I know it was only a couple of seconds, but trust me, it felt like minutes of me being frozen with fear just standing there. Whatever this thing was, it looked right at me. I, of course, turned and sprinted back to the house screaming. I swear it chased me. It ran on all fours and screeched like worn brakes on a heavy vehicle. I must have woken my dad as he met me at the door with his gun loaded, where he fired two shots into the direction where it was, and then shoved me inside and shut the door. It seemed scared of the shots. We later dialed the police, though they found nothing. If you guys live near there and have heard anything of it, please tell me. It still haunts me, and I live nowhere near there now. Gee. Now, this sighting took place in, like I said, Pierce County, Missouri. Creepy, right? It sounds just like another one of those pale crawlers.
I want to know more, like what the dad knew.
Right? It's almost like he did know something.
Mm-hmm.
Our buddy Lon Strickler has a friend named Chris Hawley, and Chris Hawley is the late Chris Hawley, was a UFO and paranormal investigator. Now, Lon says that his friend Chris mentioned that she received an email from a woman, get this, Cam, who lived on the end of Long Island, New York, at Montauk Point. Now, she told Lon that she often walked two large dogs on the beach along the Atlantic Ocean. Now, when he's saying she, not Chris, the woman that emailed Chris said that she would walk along the Atlantic Ocean coast at the point. Now, this woman told Chris that she often reads her articles and remembered that one she wrote years ago about a strange, tall, white, odd-looking family who lived on Long Island in the 1960s. Now, this lady told Chris that while walking her two large dogs during December and January, she witnessed a strange family with a huge, strange dog also walking on the beach. She told her that they were extremely tall and seemed to be an albino couple with about four or five children with them running along the beach. Now, she told Chris that she remembered her article and wanted to know if she had any other reports of this strange family being seen on Long Island. Now, Chris told Lon that she did contact the woman, who told her that she had stopped seeing the strange family at the end of February. She told Chris that she found them to be very odd and that she asked her friends and neighbors if they had seen the family. The only other person who claimed to have seen them was an older man who would feed birds along the shore on the beach, but he only noticed them once and did not ever recall seeing them again. So naturally, Lon's friend questioned the lady and found that the woman to be concerned about those people, as she felt they were something other than human and felt very uncomfortable when walking near them. She told Chris that her large dogs, who were very protective and a bit on the aggressive side, would whimper and stick their tails between their legs and drag her away whenever this family approached. Now, the article that Chris is that the woman was referencing that she, Chris wrote lots of articles, and the woman had mentioned that she had read one of Chris's articles previously, and that's what reminded her of this family. So this basically is the article. Check this out. It says, years ago, I was sitting on my deck with my mother having lunch when my mother looked over to me and said, remember the albino family that used to live in our area that always shopped at Gert's department store? Now, I hadn't thought about Gert's department store, which had long ago gone out of business for years, much less the albino family. My mother went on about how striking they were and how well-dressed and groomed they were. My mother had commented many times on how beautiful the family was and that she always noticed what they were wearing. I never thought much about it then, as I was in my teens, but as my mother went on and on about the albino family, I realized how very strange they were. First of all, the family consisted of two adults and three children. All of them were albinos. I've only seen a few other people who have this albino condition and did not note the differences in this family and the other albinos that I've seen. Talking to my mother about this family, I began to realize they were truly unusual people and not like other albinos. The five members of this family all were 6 feet in height, including the mother and daughter. The male members stood between 6 feet 3 inches to 6 foot 5 inches. They were extremely tall people. When they walked through the department store, they stood a head above most of the other shoppers. Each of them had thick, full, pure white hair, kind of like the reborn. They were beautiful people with high cheekbones and straight model-like features. Their skin was white, immaculate alabaster white. They all had the same color eyes, which were clear, big, and very light blue. They kept to themselves. They would stay together when they shopped and seemed to be quiet and polite people. It wasn't until years later that I had a conversation with my mother about that family that I realized they were a very different group of people altogether. I thought about the possibility of two beautiful albino people who looked so much alike in height, looks, and facial features meeting and marrying. Although this is possible, I knew the odds had to be nearly impossible. I then recalled reading an article while in college in the late 1970s that talked about all the eye problems that went hand in hand with those who were albinos. I also read that eye color for the typical albino runs toward the pinkish, reddish tint. I know that there are degrees of the condition which would have a lesser or greater effect on things like eye and skin color, or the lack of it, in those who are albinos. I did not read about any who had clear, big blue eyes. I tried to find out if there were blue-eyed albinos that could run an entire family, but came up empty-handed in my search. I'm not qualified to answer the question to the chance of this happening, but it feels at best it would be a very rare occurrence. I thought about this family and had to admit that finding two tall, beautiful, blue-eyed albinos who married and had three tall, beautiful, blue-eyed children was either an incredible happening or they were not a family of albinos. Years after discussing this family with my mother, I came across a few articles on the internet that talked about the tall whites. I was scrolling down one of the pages of the site. I was looking when I came to an artist's drawing of the alien species called the tall whites. I was completely taken aback as I sat and looked at the same tall people with the same beautiful faces, the same white hair, the same blue eyes, the same high cheekbones as the albino family on Long Island. I will never know if that strange, gentle family of tall, beautiful people was simply a very rare family of human albinos, or if they were a different group of entirely different beings. I often wondered over the past years about the family or group of people. I've tried to search for them a few times, but cannot find anything anywhere that would explain this odd group of people. Maybe they just moved away to another state or another planet. I did learn, to not be so ambivalent about things and pay attention to people and my surroundings far more than I once did. I wish I had been more curious at the time. I wish I would have considered how odd those people were and thought about things instead of just blindly skipping along without considering what was going on around me. So what do you think of that? This strange-looking, tall, pale family, all of them around 6 foot tall, white hair, white skin, high cheekbones, large blue eyes. Is this just a normal...
If you're a Nordic.
American, a Nordic albino family, or was this something else? Were these extraterrestrials? Were these some kind of hybridization, like a crossbreed between humans and aliens, and they were trying to see if they could assimilate into our world? Or like you're talking about, back in the 60s, there was a huge wave of these Nordic-looking extraterrestrials. They're even called the Nordics, right? They were seen on Friendship Island. Mm-hmm. There's lots of people that claim to have seen them. These look like Scandinavian folk, but like from another world.
It always makes me wonder if they were here hiding in plain sight this whole time.
That's, well, right.
And it just become harder for them. Because you got to think, if you were living back in the 20s or 30s, let's just say, all right, in the 1930s, and you're living back whatever along the coast or whatnot, any town, and you had these strange couple like that move in and this, and they just keep to themselves, and you don't know if where they work or what they do or any of that, right? You don't have any
idea
because of what you got going on. But back then, I mean, who would know outside of a few in that little county, right? Because nobody's sending pictures or letters telling all that. It would have been so much easier to hide in plain sight back then, anywhere you wanted to go, but especially if you were like that.
Yeah.
But if you were a Nordic.
Yeah, like I mentioned, it sounded like the Reborn from Dungeons & Dragons, right? Does he have white hair and things like that? You know, it would make a great episode or a series on like American Horror Story, where a family of these pale-looking tall people move in next door.
Is that the Burbs? Nordics.
Yeah. I think that would make a really cool story. Anyways, moving on.
Yeah.
Check this out. It says, I'm a truck driver, and I was heading east on I-80 up through to Illinois. I had stayed the night, the afternoon, in Des Moines, Iowa, to get some sleep. I got a fresh 8 hours of sleep, and I had just got on the road. It was about dusk, and the sun was just about to set. I was driving, and I saw a figure just ahead of me on I-80, and it was right on the side of the right hand of the road. When I say right on the side of the road, I don't mean in the grass. Its toes were right on the white line. So I naturally slowed down a little bit to kind of see what was going on there and maybe avoid it. I got about 50 yards from it and slowed to 50 miles per hour. I could see it clearly since I had my high beams on. It was a man. Well, it looked like a man. Maybe about 5'9 or 5'10. He couldn't have been more than 100 pounds soaking wet. And when I got up to him, he looked at me. And I kid you not, he had no eyes, no mouth, no nostrils. There was no orifice on his face. He was pale white. He had no hair, no features whatsoever. It looked like a skeleton with bleached white skin. He was just kind of standing there, looking right at me. I slowed down, and as soon as I saw his face, he looked up at me. Boy, I flipped the hammer down the entire way to Chicago. I never looked back. My blood ran cold. My hair stood up. It was one of the most disturbing things I have ever seen in my life. BB. I don't know how to explain it. It reminds me of something like from a Tool music video. This pale, emaciated thing with no eyes, no nostrils, no mouth, standing on the side of the road. Creepy. Check this one out. It says, in 1999, I was working at a state park in Center County, Pennsylvania, and got to know the back areas of it pretty darn well. Approximately 1 mile from the park, on a long dirt road, was a large clearing in the woods, which was cleared for power lines and gas well use. Once you got to that spot, you would have to walk over a long hill until you came to an old abandoned trail. Now, if you followed this trail, it would take you deep into the forest. Deep into the forest. One day, I decided I'd followed it and found that it led to a dilapidated cabin, not on the park cabin records, according to the, you know, the park records. And it looked like it hadn't been used for many, many decades. Now, even though it was daylight, I still got this creepy feeling, like I couldn't, like I shouldn't be there. And worse, that something was watching every move that I made. A few weeks later, while I was off duty, two of my friends and I were just out driving around, enjoying the summer night, and since I knew all the back roads, I was taking them on kind of a tour. Now, none of these roads are off limits or secret, so I wasn't breaking any rules. Other than that mysterious cabin, the park hasn't had really any secrets. About 11 p.m., I came to that familiar clearing, and I mentioned something about the old cabin. Now, being a brave soul, I talked them into letting me show them the cabin. So I grabbed my flashlight, and we took off down the hill and onto the path that led to this cabin. I took the lead, and we walked halfway when my light flashed on something on the right side of the path. Almost immediately, I stopped and said, "Did you just see that?" To which they responded, "See what?" As I panned the light back to the right side of the road, I said, "That!" There, standing by a tree, was a creature only seen in sci-fi movies. It had a grayish, olive-like skin with thin extremities. The calves and the forearm muscles were very large, as well as the chest. The face was the strangest thing, since it had an oval head, but there was no mouth. It had a nose that was long and thin, but not longer than its chin. The eyes had a reddish hue in the light and were very small. I hate to make this reference for fear of questioning my sanity, but my best description was like what the goons looked like in the Popeye cartoon. It was leaning oddly against the tree. Immediately, everyone wanted to leave, but as we turned, my flashlight went out. My friends told me to quit messing with them and turn the damn light back on, to which I informed them that I wasn't messing with them and to keep moving now that I was at the back of the group. I frantically continued to beat on my flashlight, trying to get it to work again. As soon as it came back on, I immediately swiveled back around to shine it behind us. The creature had moved up significantly and now was on the left side. We hurried to the clearing, and once we got back up the hill to the main dirt road, things only got worse. Out of the woods we had just come through was this high-pitched, blood-curdling screeching noise, which, after it started, others started to answer back from the other side of the clearing. The fact that I was a park ranger who had been in the woods all of my life and had my degree from Penn State in the wildlife management means I've heard a lot of noises in the wild, but I've never heard that sound before. I know it wasn't any kind of owl or bobcat, bear, bird, porcupine, whatever. Several months went by without incident, other than not being able to shake that "I'm watching you" feeling. I was to the point of feeling like I was being stalked. One night, I went to get something from out of my truck when I looked in the woods and I saw those reddish glowing eyes staring at me in the shadows. I, of course, immediately ran into the house and grabbed my biggest knife. I'm not a gun guy. To which my father asked me what was I doing. I told him I was tired of feeling stalked and was going to face this thing. He told me he was coming with me. But all along, I knew he never truly believed me or my strange encounter. When we got outside, he nonchalantly asked, "Okay, where did you see this thing?" I pointed to the spot to which he directed his flashlight. Much to his belief, there it was. And as soon as the light hit it, it tore off deep into the woods. My father, who's an ex-Marine who served proudly during Vietnam, yelled at me to get back into the house with fear. There was real fear in his voice. Now, to this day, it still creeps me out telling this encounter, and my hands shake even while typing, while recalling it all. I'm now in my 30s with a wife and kids, but even now when I go outside at night, I still feel watched to the point that when I get a real strong feeling, my wife won't let me leave the house without her. Just as a side note, for the first 5 years of our relationship, she too would catch sight of this creature, but mostly as it was going into the shadows. Thank you for your time, Ben. Well, Ben, that's an incredible story. Again, what are these people seeing? Again, trained observers, park rangers, people who are used to the outdoors. And the fact that his girlfriend has seen it, his father has seen it, and of course his friends that he took out to the cabin, they too saw it. What were they seeing? What is this thing?
What's attached itself to the cabin, right? Or to them? Like, why is it just there?
I don't know. And it's like, you know, no one ever talks about being attacked by these things. They just see them. So is it just like some kind of demon?
It's like an energy drain.
Screwing around with you?
I still think it has to do with something with emotion. It has to feed something. Because because it's not like you hear numerous missing people and just completely vanished. We have a bunch of them. But you would think if these things were feeding like that, you would have a lot more of these encounters of people going in the woods and just vanishing. Hundreds, right?
Yeah.
Because these things have to feed. It feels more like these things, along with like Hat Man or whatever this energy or entities are, feed off negativity. It feeds off of your fear or your anxiety, whatever it is. And it's just, it gets it with that unsettling image of itself.
Yeah.
It's what we do in the shadows. It's Colin Robinson. They're energy vampires is what they are.
Yeah. Check this out. On the night of February 27th, 2017, in the early morning, I was staying at a Best Western in Big Bear, California. At approximately 12:35 a.m., I walked to my car alone to retrieve my luggage. It had been snowing and was extremely dark. My car was facing a country road. When I hit the unlock button on my car, the parking and interior lights came on. This allowed me to see two eyes reflecting in the middle of the road, about 10 to 15 feet from me. Now, at first, I thought it was a deer. I've lived in Colorado, and I'm quite accustomed to seeing wildlife. I instantly stopped and remained still, as I didn't want to scare off what I thought was a deer. As my eyes glanced downwards, that's when I noticed it wasn't a deer. It looked like a white, hairless, naked man on all fours. It was at least 4 feet in height on all fours. There was a brief instance when our eyes made contact. It then, as quickly as I've ever seen any animal, it turned around and ran as fast as a cheetah away from me, then straight up a tree. Now, I was frozen in disbelief. I couldn't believe what I was looking at. Just as I was going to convince myself that this couldn't possibly actually be happening, it leaped from treetop to treetop. I've never heard of such a creature, but I have found some other videos and pictures online that look exactly like what I saw. The speed and strength were like nothing I've ever heard of before. The creature was solid. It then appeared as if it was coming towards me. Possibly it was hunting me. I don't know what stopped it. Was it the lights that went on? It had no visible genitalia. It had human-like qualities. If this had been a huge-eyed gray alien, it would have made more sense. I've heard of those, but this was unlike anything I've ever been familiar with. None of this makes sense to me. The speed, the agility of the creature, and there shouldn't be any way that the treetops should have been able to hold the weight of this creature either. It appeared to be flashing like a TV going in and out of reception as it sprinted up the tree. It also didn't appear to disrupt the foliage as it did so. I immediately called my father, and after I rushed back into my hotel room, my son was asleep, and I was understandably in a state of shock. At this time, no one knew what hotel I was staying in. As I was crying on the phone to my father, the hotel phone rang. I answered it, and it was only a dial tone. Then, there was a knock at the hotel room door. When I opened the door once again, no one was there. At this point, my son woke up due to the commotion. I told him it was a scary dream, I gave my father the hotel information, and he advised me to go wait in the lobby with my son. As we were leaving, there was another knock, but it was at the back sliding glass door that went out to a privately fenced-in patio. This was a one-time encounter, and it's unfortunate that I still live in fear of this experience. I was raised as a Christian. This humanoid doesn't fit into any category with which I'm familiar. I don't know why this happened and what I'm supposed to learn from it. My previous beliefs on the world and the way things work have been tossed upside down. While it's thought-provoking, it's been very traumatic and has me in a panicked state that's distracting and mostly negative. N. Again, a golem-like, emaciated, like old man crawling on all fours, scurrying up the tree.
I'm out.
But like, I like the part where they said that it was appearing like it was flashing like a TV.
It going had no in genitals. And out
of reception.
And some human quality. It's kind of describing you.
You know, but like what? It's like, is it an illusion? Why does it look like it's blinking in and out of existence? And also, she even mentions like the tree shouldn't have been able to hold the weight of it, yet it's doing it. And we've heard those stories before too, of people seeing something.
Our gravity affects it different.
With the Glimmer Man, some of the Glimmer Man sightings, it's like the tree should be bending over by the weight of this thing, but it ain't. Like what?
That's so wild.
Are people seeing?
It would really shatter your whole perception of reality. Anything like that, right? Yeah. I mean, anything like that would just blow it out of the water when you have an experience like that.
Yeah, I have no explanation for what people are seeing. Pretty scary. Let's take a break. And when we get back from the break, I've got another trash bag to Wendy sighting. Stick with us, folks. You're listening to Expanded Perspectives. Guys, as you can imagine, here at Expanded Perspectives, we look up some pretty radical stuff on the internet, trying to come up with stories and stuff for y'all. And, you know, these big companies, whenever you're using your browsers, they kind of track what you're looking at. And you may not necessarily want everybody knowing what you're looking at. And they might think, you know, what's wrong with this guy? What is he looking at? Just winged humanoids all the time, you know, whether you're on your lunch break or at home. You know, you want to keep big tech's control of the internet out of your life. That's why you need to use something like ExpressVPN. Me and Cam both use it, and we love it. You ever wondered how free-to-access tech giants make all their money? Well, by tracking your searches, your video history, and everything you click on, by building a profile on you, and then they sell that sensitive data to other people. Well, I don't want that. I'm sure you don't either. You don't want people knowing what you're looking at, and I don't blame you. Cam, you use ExpressVPN, right?
I love it, yeah.
And, I mean, we couldn't be more happier. When you use ExpressVPN, the app, on your computer, or you can use it on your phone, this software hides your IP address from third parties. And that makes your activity much more difficult for companies to trace and to sell to advertisers. And it helps keep your online presence more anonymous. And who doesn't want to be anonymous, right?
And I also love encryption. And if y'all love encryption like we love encryption, ExpressVPN encrypts 100% of your network data to protect you from all those cyber criminals and eavesdroppers be dropping eaves in there in your stuff. Now, you don't have to take our word for it. In fact, don't. Check it out. ExpressVPN's rated number one by CNET, TechRadar, Wired, and, I mean, heck, go online and look. That's where you want to go. So, if you want to stop allowing big tech to go in here and mess around with basically your freedoms,
right?
Then you want to revoke their freedoms, right? So secure your internet with the VPN that, of course, me and Kyle rock and roll now. That's go to expressvpn.com/expanded. Now, look, this is a mouthful. I'm going to work this out for y'all. That's express, E-X-P-R-E-S-S. VPN.com/expanded, and you're going to get 3 extra months free with the link. That's expressvpn.com/expanded.
And we're back with Expanded Perspectives.
Woo!
Crazy, creepy stories. It's almost that time of year. That's right, folks. It's almost October. If you got some scary stories and sightings and experiences you want to share with us and the listeners, do not hesitate. Email the show, expandedperspectives at yahoo.com, or you can call the show 888-393-2783. Before we wrap the show up, though, we got another Trash Bag Duende signing.
Yes.
Ryan, it says, hey, y'all, I've been a listener since around 2014, 2015. It was at the beginning of your show, and I have to say, it's still my very favorite.
Thank you.
The reason I'm writing in is because of the Trash Bag Duende stories I keep hearing about.
And because you're awesome.
My story is brief, but I'd like to preface it with the fact that I have seen a lot of paranormal stuff for most of my life. But that's another story. This happened yesterday, the 20th of September. I live south of y'all in Killeen, the home of Fort Hood. I've been to Killeen lots of times. We had a lot of baseball tournaments down there. Pretty cool. That being said, I'm retired Army and just retired 3 years ago. So first of all, thank you for your service.
Thank you.
We stayed here for my wife's job, and nowadays I'm a full-time house husband and pops or grandpa. Other than all the shopping, cooking, and cleaning I do, I try to get out of the house at least once a day. Well, as y'all know, the temperature has finally started cooling down a little, and I took the doors and top off of my Jeep. Yesterday, after running some errands, I was on my way home. I was driving through the neighborhood when I was coming up to a stop sign. There was a car in front of me and one to the right waiting to turn. As I'm coming up to the intersection, I see on the left side of the road across the intersection what appears to be a clear bag floating lackadaisically. It was the clear color of a plastic Walmart type bag. Now, I thought at first that it must have been just some sort of plastic bag, but then I noticed that this thing had no handles. And it didn't seem to be a bag at all. It was about 2.5 to 3 feet off the ground. Now, I know people will think it was just a bag floating down the street. However, as I stated before, I'm in my Jeep with no top or doors. When I stopped at the stop sign, I was praying for wind because there was none, and it was 95 degrees. Yet this weird thing kept bobbing down the side of the road. It did catch my attention. But like all weird things I see, I figured it was just me and I took off. Now I took off, but this thing had caught my attention. Mind you, it didn't change direction after I passed it. It just kept meandering down the road. There were no cars behind me at all. And when I went to look in my rearview mirror, I kid you not, this thing went up to about 7 feet in height, flattened out, and shot off very quickly, making a 90-degree left turn. Y'all, there was no wind. Trust me. I was sweating my butt off, and this thing shot off like nobody's business. The road it went down is a very short, dead-end street. I went down there today to see if I could find this clear plastic bag. Of course, nothing was found. Not against anyone's fence or in their yard. I don't know what I could have seen. My neighborhood is large, and it's getting larger, and it's literally in the middle of nowhere. Well, the closest business is 3 miles away. Like, when I pull out of the neighborhood, you're in the country. It's never been populated and was a ranch for years and years. Nothing historically has ever happened here. So what the heck was it? I have no clue. I love your show and I share it with everyone I can. Keep up the good work and I hope to hear another episode like y'all had with Dark Waters. That Dogman episode gets everyone hooked that I share it with. Much love and respect, Jason. Well, thank you, Jason, sending that in.
That's
another
wild.
One of these crazy bags. It just rose off the ground and then took off in a high speed. Like,
well, and here's the thing. We've all passed trash bags, plastic shopping sacks, any of that stuff on the highway, on the interstate. And the breeze from the vehicle will make them, you know, like end over end or whip underneath other people's cars and whip around. You can see all that. But they're not changing directions and making their way off the roadway.
Yeah. And this
not doing that.
Took off at a very high rate of speed.
Yeah. Like, and it. I don't know. Again, it's one of those things you don't know what to look for till you know what to look for. It just starts making you wonder how much or what is this correlation and how often does it work? Like, are these things all the time moving like that and we just pay no attention because it looks like trash?
Yeah. I mean,
it would be a great way to travel.
is it fae? Because so many of these sightings have seen these odd-looking things go into the bushes or go behind a shrub or something. And when they come out the other side, it's like a rabbit, or sometimes it's an actual gnome.
Yeah.
It's like, is this the way these things are moving around? Is it extraterrestrial? What if the aliens actually look like gnomes?
That'd be awesome. The fae and the alien are all the same.
It's all the same thing.
I'm down. I'm down with that.
Right? It is possible. We got another sighting here.
Yeah.
Not a trash bag to Wendy, but this is something different.
Oh,
this is,
what do we got?
More like a UFO.
All right.
And this took place recently as well. It says, on September 7th, 2022, me and my coworkers had what we all think was either an extremely huge UFO, UAP, or a bunch of UFOs and UAPs. At around 7 a.m. in the northwestern outskirts of Cedar City, Utah, we just got to the job site and we're having our morning job briefing at the solar farm where we're starting to build, and I caught a red-orange streak or flash in the sky. I then looked up and saw a perfectly straight line of 27 to 30 white lights moving in sync slowly across the sky. I immediately pointed them out to my coworkers. From when I first saw it to it moved out of sight, it only took about 1 minute. If I had to guess, I would say that they were in the area of 10,000 to 20,000 feet and about 100 to 300 feet apart. I say that only because the line would have been about 8.5 inches across. Because I held up my arm and spread apart my fingers, that is about 9 inches exactly. And it was just smaller than that. Also, it was moving across the sky, and the angle changed from about 45 degrees to 120 degrees as it moved. After they disappeared into the sky, my boss, who is a very religious and no BS kind of guy, said, and I quote, "I guess we should have recorded that." We all nodded and went back to our briefing. The whole encounter took about 1 minute to go all the way across the sky. Later that day, after our 14-hour shift, I checked a satellite tracking site, and there were no satellites in the sky at the time. And the closest times were at 20 hours, or 8 p.m., the night before, and that in the night before that night. I don't know what we saw, but it's a UFO UAP in my book. As a little background on me, I would like to say that I'm born and bred farmer and a rancher. I've always been up before the sun and out working in the fields till well after sundown, and I just love watching the night sky. So when I saw this, I knew something wasn't right, because clusters of satellites don't look this way. I also know it wasn't airplanes, because my family's farm is about a mile away from an airport, and I never saw planes fly that way. If any other listeners in that area saw it too, I would love to hear about it. Thanks for all you do. Thanks, Dylan. Very interesting.
That's awesome.
I need to look into the archive to see if other people on September 7th had similar sightings, mm-hmm. other than you and your coworkers. Because there's still that large UFO recording database and people you can call
yeah.
and leave your reports. And there's people, you know, manning the phones. Very, very cool. Cam, what do you got planned for the rest of your week?
We have a little get together for a like a little wedding party that we're going to this weekend. And then I'm going to get the granddaughter and we're all going to hang out. The daughter's coming home from college. So it's a little family soiree that's going on for me this weekend. So no rest for the wicked.
That sounds cool.
And then, of course, we got to D&D it.
Right. Me and my wife, we are going to Cirque du Soleil. We've been before. It's been a couple years because of COVID and everything. The last couple times they've been canceled, right?
Now, when you were younger, you performed in that a few times, like for at least a year or so. And I used to travel around and do that. That's how you saw part of America.
I wish. I wish I was as talented as some of these people. It's amazing the stuff that they can do.
The problem is you like it so much, that's what you dress for Halloween. Anytime we have a thing, is you in like spats or whatnot, you're in the super tights and you got your chest out wearing your golden green paint and you're doing back bends. It's kind of awkward, but hey, you know, to each his own.
Yeah, man, I've got these Sitka yoga pants on right now in the studio while I'm sitting here. You got a layer, right? This is my bottom layer.
Your base layer.
Yeah, my base layer.
Base!
Well, before we get out of here, let's not forget about our sponsors. If you want to support small businesses and brew the best cup of coffee you've ever made at home, it's time to try Trade Coffee. Right now, Trade is offering our listeners a total of $30 off your first order, plus free shipping at drinktrade.com/expanded. That's drinktrade.com/expanded for $30 off your subscription to the best coffees in the country. Also, let's not forget about Athletic Greens. Athletic Greens is going to give you a free one-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and five free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/expanded. That is athleticgreens.com/expanded to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance.
Folks, if you're looking for safety while browsing the internet, don't forget about ExpressVPN. Go to expressvpn.com/expanded to get 3 extra months free at expressvpn.com/expanded.
That's right. If you have a story you'd like to share with us and the listeners, email the show expandedperspectives@yahoo.com, or you can call into the show 888-393-2783. That's 888-393-BROOD. Folks, that's about all the time we have for this episode. Till next time, be safe. I'm Kyle. He's Cam.
Peace, y'all.